Welcome, everybody, to the Gulf Force Side Effects. I'm your host, Kevin Simon. Y'all know my co-host, John.
Hey, everybody.
Today, we got special guest, another Navy guy, Larry Overton. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. You know, Larry and I were on Guam. We didn't know each other, but we were on Guam. He was there a little bit before me. But, John, what is up with the background, man?
I know. It's just, you know, I'm kind of sitting here in my recliner because other stuff's going on and all decorative and shit. It's the only position I get the damn camera in. So, you know, this is for the Navy guys, you know, a little fluff for the Navy.
That is great. So, Larry, what years were you in the military?
I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy from September 85 up until February of 2006.
You're retired.
Yes.
A retired squid. Did you hear that, John? Retired squid. Damn Skippy, buddy. Damn. And here I am supporting freaking Army today. I apologize.
All olive drab.
Larry, I apologize. I even have a green cup. I don't quite understand why I have it. You know, I'm going to feel ashamed, man. But no, Larry, so during when you first went into, where'd you go to boot camp?
I went to boot camp in San Diego, of all places. I'm from New Jersey originally.
I
was supposed to have gone to Great Lakes or Great Mistakes. And turns out
Great
my cousin.
States.
Yeah. My cousin joined the Navy also. And so on a reference from me, so we went on the buddy system. He was going to school out in San Diego after basic training. So they turned around and switched me from Great Lakes to San Diego. Best thing that could have happened, man. I avoided shoveling snow in November.
Dude, you're right, brother. I'll tell you what, San Diego was always seemed like 75 and beautiful, man.
Yep.
When you're out PTM, which is only like a mile, you know.
Running around the old airport.
Yeah, we weren't crawling under barbed wire, you know, climbing on top of rocks and doing y'all's fun stuff y'all do, or jumping out of freaking airplanes, which I don't quite understand that. Still puzzles me till today. So you were in during Desert Storm. What ship were you on?
I was on the USS Tripoli. It was a helicopter assault ship based out of San Diego. It was a Vietnam era. It was built during the Vietnam era.
I think most of the ships were, right? I know ours was a Vietnam era ship and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you specialize in?
So I was in supply. So I was a ship serviceman. So we did the stores, the barbershops, the vending machines, on board the ship, out at sea. And it was a pretty skate job. But when it came to other collateral duties, so when it came to general quarters or battle stations for the other listeners, that would be my spot would be in a repair locker, which is for damage control for the ship.
And I think our SKs were also mine watch, like they stood watch for mines and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, we had a couple of guys that were on mine watch. I was able to dodge the bullet on that one.
You're standing out there looking for mines just off the deck of the ship?
Yeah, man.
Well, what they would
for
do
real?
Is... So for us, the forecastle was like the front part of the ship, but it was underneath the flight deck. So there was like three portholes out in the front of it, but then there was two drops where you could put two cages there, and we put two personnel in there. And they would be doing mine watch, looking for surface mines. But most of the mines during that time were laid. They were below water. They were submerged mines. So, and that was from the Iraqis and, of course, from the Iranians back in the 80s when we got in that little nice little bumper fight with them back in 88.
So did you ever hit any of the mines?
Yeah, actually, we did. February 18th of 91 during Desert Storm at 4:36 in the morning, we hit a mine, submerged mine.
Oh, no shit.
Oh
that's the one that that has the propeller or has something that feels vibration, right?
No, that the one that we hit was a contact mine. So it looks like a hamburger with sticks, poked out of it.
Okay.
So yeah, we ran into that one. The way that situation came about was, we were sitting off the coast of Falaka Island in the Gulf. when we got out to, when we left San Diego, we left with the 10-ship amphibious group. And when we got out to the Gulf, we were sitting off the coast of Oman outside Muscat, and there was 36 amphibs out there. You know, LHAs, a larger helicopter assault ships, and then the LPHs. And we did minesweeping on a deployment back in November 89. I wasn't on the ship then, but we had the experience in aviation mine countermeasures. So basically, it was a big CH-53 helicopter dragging a hydrofoil going over the water. And they were supposed to be able to detonate mines.
That's how they detected the mines? Dragging a...
Yeah,
that's a hell of a way to go about it.
Hell yeah!
And if it just blows up, you just blow up the freaking high. What do you call it? So you're basically pulling a ship that's inflated with air, right? I mean, a hydrofoil or whatever, right?
It was basically a contraption that was, it looked like a big sled, is what it looked like, and it had blades in there, it would just skim along the water. And it had the equipment to detect the mines. Didn't detonate them. It just detected them.
I have a bunch of Navy guys out there, probably Marines, laughing at me. That dumbass doesn't know what that... No, I have no idea.
Well, no. If they spot a mine, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I wasn't up there, but if they spot a mine, the 50 cal would shoot at it and blow it up. That's what I've always...
Is that how it goes?
We had an EOD team on board, Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team, so they would go over the side and on a rib boat, and they would go out to it and drag it away from the ship if it was a floater, and then they would hook the detonation charges to it, and then they would blow it up.
God dang!
That's a hell of a way to go about. Why wouldn't you just shoot at it to blow it up?
I think because of the region. There's other things. So Kevin had mentioned about there's a pressure mine. It's called a Lugum. It's a Russian mine. And that thing actually lays at the bottom of the drink, of the Gulf. And the pressure from the screw when it's spinning, it sends the pressure down the mine. And what the mine does is it detonates, and it sends up a big air bubble underneath the ship. And then when it comes up, it pops the ship out of the water and buckles.
Oh, hell.
Yeah.
Oh,
so that.
Shit.
So right, when John. We hit, so when we
wow.
hit the mine,
okay.
It's pretty powerful. So.
That Basically, sounds intense as hell.
It is. When we got to this situation on the 17th of February, the Iraqis had locked in a Silkworm anti-ship missile battery on us from Falaka Island. So we had to pick up and move, and we had minesweepers with us and the aviation part. So we're out there moving around, and the Air Force was actually dropping a daisy cutter bomb on Falaka Island that night. So... the Air Force did their part. They dropped that nice 25,000-pound beauty on Falaka, basically flattened the whole area. We were 30 miles out. We still felt the concussion from that thing. So
30 miles away and you felt that?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
So we hit the rack around – it was probably around midnight. We hit the rack, and then 4:36 in the morning, that's – you know, we went into an uncharted minefield. Nobody knew that it was there. And when we went into it, we had minesweepers on the side of us. And behind us, nothing in front of us. So we went right smack, and we hit this contact mine. And when it exploded, the ship just took a violent shake. And everybody was screaming it was a missile hit. But from the way the detonation went and as violent of aftershock that went through the ship, you didn't realize that it was a mine. A couple of us kind of figured it out quickly. So all the bells are going off for general quarters. We're scrambling. You know, we were well-trained when we left San Diego to go for the war. We were doing general quarters or battle stations for the other military folks twice a week for an hour each time. And we'd start from like 9 in the morning till 10. No matter where we got in the drill, we stopped, we debriefed, and we went over what the training, what we did wrong. And then we correct, so we would know our mistakes going forward. So we were good. Our CO, his name was Captain McEwen. He was really good. He got the Silver Star from the Navy because that mine hit. And we were well prepared. So, you know, we hit this mine, you know, 4:36 in the morning. About 2 hours later, the USS Princeton got hit also. They got hit by that Russian Lugum mine. So it popped them up out of the water. And when they went up out of the water, it buckled their fantail and their screw and sent a crack up their superstructure. So the Princeton was dead in the water. The funny part was, my irony of the whole thing was, the Princeton's from, named after the Battle of Princeton in New Jersey, and I'm from Princeton, New Jersey, who was on the Tripoli. So I kind of got my own little war story. Yeah, I know, right? Well, so I got my own little war story.
Well, you know, they say the Tripoli and the Princeton were the only ones that were hit by mines. They say two ships, but that's not necessarily true, because I believe the USNS Andrew J. Higgins also hit a mine.
I don't think they hit a mine.
It blew a hole. It blew a hole right in the side.
On the Higgins?
On the Andrew J. Higgins.
I'm not sure, because we still stayed in the Gulf after the mine hit. And we did replenishments, but then again, I could be wrong. I mean, I was 30
And I'm going to say it was close to, it was after the war ended. I believe it was Andrew J. Higgins. I'm pretty for sure. I'll have to check. Don't quote me on it, but from what I remember, I also thought that Andrew J. Higgins hit a mine.
And it possibly could have, too. I mean, because there was stuff going on there. We were so, you know, for the United States at that time, we were so far behind when it came to mine countermeasures. You know, Tripoli basically wrote the book for aviation mine countermeasures because of that war. And the, you know, they took the Incheon out of Virginia and converted her over to an MCS ship. They made it a mine countermeasure ship up until 2002, when she had a main space fire and some people got killed. So that pretty much wiped out the Incheon. She got decommissioned, you know, but the ship, you know, that situation with the aviation mine countermeasures and the regular minesweepers were a mess. You know, the European counterparts, the Brits, you know, the Germans sent over minesweepers, the Norwegians, they were far advanced and they were actually finding more than we were.
Yeah. Well, you remember taking a class on board our ship. We took a class on what different mines look like. So that way, if we see them in the water.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm sorry, but I looked in the water all the time. I was like, hell no. Sea snakes, sharks, and mines. This is not a good thing to be looking at. Like, hey, man, look at that. It's sea snake, shark. Mine.
Yeah, you know,
I never saw a mine, thank goodness. But whenever I was going to get out, I tried to get stationed on a minesweeper. I really wanted a minesweeper.
Why?
That's what I ask myself now. What the hell was I thinking? but they wanted to leave my ass on Guam for 2 more years. No, thank you. And that's the cool thing, because everybody has a different job on board a ship. Your storekeepers are also, you know, they didn't just do supply. They also cut hair. Did you cut hair?
Yes, I did.
That's what I do for a living now.
Really?
Yeah. And there's no way I was going to cut anybody's hair. I went in the Navy not to cut hair. No, thank you.
Yeah. I go figure, right?
You know, now I cut hair. I had to eat a lot of words when I came back home. But but what I thought was cool, like, John, you'd be out in the water. I'm telling you, it was the deepest, blue, clearest water you would ever see in your life. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. You just didn't, you know, out at sea, it was just magnificent. There was days the water would look like glass. And there was days that it would be like 40-foot swells going up, you know, your butt, you know? And that's one thing about being in the Navy. You got to see it all. At nighttime, you could look over a size ship, and it's a chemical reaction of the way the ship hits the water and breaks off, but they're nice green glow on the bottom of the ship. And I mean, it would glow bright. It was cool, man. It was cool. Yeah. And then you see sea snakes, sharks.
Mm-hmm. You have a real thing. Not that I'm, don't get me wrong, I hate snakes, but you have this real, you often bring up the snake thing.
Snake and spiders, hell no. No, thank you.
Spiders, no. Spiders.
That you put a spider really on me, and I will run 20 miles. I'm just telling you right now to get that thing off me. I'd rather be stung by bees than have a spider on me.
Were you ever on a sub, Larry?
No, there was no way you get me on that little thing. my first ship was a sub tender. It was a sub repair ship. I had a chance to go down and look in the sub, but no way, man.
Yeah, no way. Just,
That's like putting a soda can underneath 1,000 pounds of pressure and just watching it, you know, crumple.
But
I'm like, no way.
That's the only way you can save really good money, though.
Yeah,
because your ass never surfaces for a long time.
And especially now, the money they give them for reenlisting or just to enlist. Yeah, they get. I mean, it's you definitely save money. That's for sure.
I know.
I didn't.
Being during the wartime, I mean, like, the only way we knew, John, that the war started, they started flying off airplanes and missiles. Only way we freaking knew. It was a trip, man. Oh, and
Captain's they told like, us, and they
told y'all?
It was dark, and they said, okay, everybody, you know, it was obviously at night, and we say, look up, and we can hear the planes, we can see the lights, and all of a sudden the lights, the strobes would go off, they'd go in, and you can hear them coming back. All of a sudden the lights come back on, and they, you know, we hear the bombs dropping, and the MLRS is going off batshit crazy, and it's like,
we're looking through the damn binoculars, and you can see the green glow from the bombs hitting. It was really cool, man. I'm not gonna say it was cool, but darn right, man.
Yeah, yes.
But the airplanes.
Well, they're far away, right?
I don't know how aircraft carriers. I got to give it to a lot of the guys on aircraft carriers. How they function and how quick they can get an airplane off that deck is amazing. And them pilots are nuts.
Yep.
And even the helicopter pilots. Our helicopter pilots, I remember most of them being females. And I'm telling you, they're amazing. I give pilots a lot of credit. I understand why they make bigger money, and I understand why they, you know, they get to play with the fun stuff, like all the buttons, you know, they will not let me play with.
Yep.
Oh, what the hell does that button do?
Jesus.
After you were leaving Desert Storm and you're gone, I'm sure y'all hit some ports like the Philippines or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, we did. Actually, after that mine hit, we had boiler problems the rest of that deployment. Our boilers got knocked off their ballast.
Oh.
So we were, we got out to the Indian Ocean and we were down. We were supposed to have pulled into Phuket, Thailand. And we went dark and dirty. We lost power for
how many
about
days?
2 hours.
Just
for a couple hours.
We went dead in the water, I think magically, off the Philippines for like a couple of days.
Oh, magically.
Magically.
Yeah, magically.
And magically we had to pull back into the Philippines, you know. But it is cool, John, because, you know, they say, you know, join the Navy, it's an adventure. My ass. It's an adventure. It's more than event. It's a lot of work. You know what? Yeah. I mean, you're busting your ass from sun up, sundown. And then you got to stand watches at night, you know. But the good part was, is I wasn't on the sand. I wasn't getting shot at. You know, my fear was the snakes in the water.
I don't know. The Navy intrigues me now. I mean, I'm not even sure I've ever been up in close.
Because
to
we're
it.
So cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, we all flip one another's shit, but the bottom line, I mean, the Marines and the Navy kind of know one another.
Well,
you know,
how many types of different tanks do you know of? Different type of tanks?
Tanks? I don't know. I don't know. I could probably rattle off a few. That wasn't my, I mean.
Only a few. We have all different types of toys. Think about it, man. We had some cool shit.
There's more to the Army than tanks, for God's sake.
But I'm just saying, I mean, y'all were stuck in one spot. We were everywhere.
No, we weren't.
Okay. Y'all moved once a week and about 20 yards down.
Once
the road.
A week, my aching ass. We moved during the war. Shit, we're moving constantly. I mean, we barely get everything.
John,
nice and,
don't
you know,
get testy. Don't get angry.
What do you say? We didn't move. we're called mobile. We have these things called wheels on vehicles, and you put your foot on the gas and you move forward.
John, I love you, man. I love you. I'm telling you, I watched the Pacific. Oh wait, that was Marines. I watched Band of Brothers, how they jumped out. I'm gonna tell y'all something. I give the Army and the Marines a lot of credit. After watching them movies, I thank God I joined the United States Navy. I wore bell bottoms, but my ass was not storming the beach. I'm just telling y'all. And so today I was talking to this guy, because we're about to get into the VA next. But I was talking to a guy, and he went in during World War II. He's almost 100 years old. And he was telling me, and yes, CBs also. CBs are badass. Yes, I agree 100%. Somebody put that, Navy CBs can build a city in like hours.
Yeah, we used to call them Marines, but light duty.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. I seen them CBs work on Guam. I was like, hell no, man. Mm-mm.
My cousin who's retired Navy, he's actually a retired CB.
Is he a CB? Oh, yeah. Yeah, now I know you
do. I stick it to him every time I get a chance. Yeah.
But he jumped out of airplanes. And I said, okay, I have to ask you a question. When you jumped out of the airplane and you looked down, what was the thought that was running through your mind? He goes, $50 a month.
$50 a month?
That's how much they got paid in World War II. That's why he did it. And I tell you what, you talk about, that is why they are the greatest generation of the world. Because back then, you could pay me $1 million. My butt is not jumping out of no airplane, not on God's green earth. No, thank you.
So I've not jumped out of an airplane. I'm not airborne qualified, but somebody asked, well, would you do it, you know, in the civilian sector? I'm like, no. I mean, to each their own. Now, what don't, as you've heard, rappel out of a helicopter, you know, the military, we sarcastically call it dope on a rope. Air assault.
I might do that as long as you gave me a gun on the back and some buttons I can push to detonate bombs. I'm in, man. Let's do it, man. I'm telling you, I would have done. I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you, man. Every time I saw a button, I was like, I wonder what the hell that thing does. But
so now, what do you do when your granddaughter's going to push buttons and you're like,
I just tell her pushes. Whatever's going to happen is going to end up happening. I mean, it just happens, you know. That's the way you experience life, you know.
Yeah.
But now let's get into the VA, Larry. This right here. So when you got out, you're retired. You really didn't do much with the VA because you had a better insurance. Congratulations. You earned it, spent it 20 years in. I give you a lot of damn credit. But how is it dealing with the VA? Like when you go to file or you go to do stuff, especially being retired?
So it hasn't really been. So I just refiled and put two new claims in here recently. It hasn't been too bad. So I filed on March 22nd and the ball's been in motion. I did a follow-up last week about the previous my original claims. That went well. I should say well for the simple fact that it got sent out to the civilian world. The VA sent it out to community care, and I went to a South Central Texas healthcare, and they had a disability nurse practitioner dealing with me, and she made things real simple, very very easy to talk with. She had access to all my medical records, so
that's good.
Yeah, so anything that I had done, like at the Air Force clinic here at the in San Antonio, or at the Army Hospital, the VA could see my stuff, and vice versa.
Oh, so that's good.
So the two systems talk to each other. So that's a big plus. That's one good thing. So for the retirees, if you are dealing with the VA, they can see your stuff. I did give authorization to pull records from other places. I went for physical therapy for the back for a few months. That authorization I did electronically, that got pulled. I just spoke to the place today, actually. and they had sent the stuff off a couple of weeks ago. And the PTSD claim is the one that I'm working right now. That one is kind of like, it's a little tricky because you're getting notifications back from the VA saying that we need this, we need this, we need this. And I'm in the process of gathering it. And right. then of course they're throwing the, well, you have 30 days to do this. If not, your stuff can be disapproved, you know, rejected or whatever, verbiage you're going to use. So, you know, the person I'm dealing with from, counseling services, he's already got me diagnosed. We have an appointment next week. He'll get my records moving
and
for me.
And the one thing you will, because I saw this comment on here about, you know, talking about their claims being deferred. They defer almost every claim I know of now. They defer it. And it's just, all it does is like go to somebody else. Like, well, what do you think about this? You know, that's what I learned about it being deferred. It's like, you know, do we need more evidence? Usually they don't ask for any more evidence. And once it gets them deferred, you're close to a decision. That so just to let you, I saw that comment and I want that to be added to it. But I do know with filing claims, you know, with what you were talking about, you know, sleep apnea, the headaches, and, you know, how about brain fog? Do you deal with a lot of brain fog, short-term memory?
Not in the beginning. As I've gotten, you know, as I've gotten older, yeah. But I don't want to attribute that to age. I attribute that to, you know, we were sucking in the fumes from the oil well fires.
Yeah.
When the Iraqis left, we had a black haze inside the ship for like 4 days.
Oh yeah.
You know, and we were inhaling this crap because when it's for a ship, you know what, you know, with that ventilation system, it sucks in the air from the outside to blow, and it blows, you know, of course it goes through the air conditioning system, but it cycles through. And when it gets in there, it's there, you know, it's no different than blowing air from your unit in your house, and, you know, from outside to inside.
That well, and I'll tell you, and that's right. I mean, that's what I remember. I remember when we went back to Southern Watch, back again. I remember the haze being worse during Southern Watch. It's like we pulled them into Oman, and you're just kind of like, oh shit, the mouth of Oman. You're just like, damn man, it's just like a wall of haze, and you just start going through it. It kind of remind you of the Mist, the show, The Mist.
Yeah.
It's like, what kind of damn creature is going to come up here and whoop my ass? Probably a snake.
Yeah, snake.
But, you know, it's funny because, you know, we could use a lot of sailor terms and really mess John up right now, but I'm going to be nice.
That wouldn't take a whole lot because I don't know anything about the Navy other than what you've shared with me and some of our other guests.
We talk mostly about this in the after show, but we're going to talk about WOG Day a little bit. Okay.
About what?
WOG Day. Becoming a shellback. Becoming a shellback.
Yeah.
What the bloody... Okay, so you're going to have to break it down for those of us non-Navy personnel.
All right.
You got it, Kevin.
So this is... They make what's called 18-inch shillelaghs. That's the longest they can go, and it's fire hoses. They cut them 18 inches, and they make a handle on it, and they beat your ass. Anybody crossing over the... It's crossing over the equator. It, you know, King Neptune's, you know, big old thing. And right. They
Something
poop
like
in. I'm just going to tell everybody so y'all understand what I'm about to say for you non-Navy people. They prepare for this for months. Like they put food in a trash can for a long time to rot. They put toilets out there and they dump the food in there. And they also pee and poop in it. I learned that. That's really great. You got a bomb.
Ah.
You got a bob for old
what
rotten apples.
What kind of hell?
I'm not done, John. It gets worse. It gets worse. But in the very beginning, they soak you down with the water hose, and they're beating the ever-living crap out of you. I was black and blue from my neck down to my toes. And being on the ship for a long, long time and being the smartass that I am did not pay off for me very well at all. But what was, and mainly for my commanding officer and also, you know, the higher up guys that I like to tell funny jokes to. But at the very end of it, they had the biggest, fattest guy on the ship. And he rubs Crisco grease on his stomach and puts an olive in his belly button. And
right there.
Oh. Right there. Look at it, John. See the picture? And you got
it. Show that again.
It's up there.
That's the royal baby.
Oh.
And you have to you have to dig this olive or grape, whatever they put, out of his belly button.
That's disgusting.
I'm going to tell you what. Somebody said cherries. Jason said cherries. I'm going to tell you what. And then, like, they poured hot sauce down the back of my pants. I mean, I'm telling you, I was black and blue, and I was in pain for days.
Kind
of
nastiness.
But it was fun.
Oh, it was the funnest
thing
ever.
It was so much fun. They don't do it anymore in the Navy. They don't do it anymore in the Navy. But I didn't learn later until we did walk day and I broke the toilets out and they were sitting on them. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know how many times I stuck my face in that thing and you people peeing and pooping it?
And what is the purpose of this walk day's initiation what?
Yeah, it's initiation into King Neptune's equator.
Yes. It goes all the way back to the, it goes way back.
It's pride, dude.
It goes
it's
back
pride.
Hundreds of years. Yeah.
But see, they don't do all this anymore.
No. Or they call it something different.
And now it's called hazing, and you get in a lot of trouble for it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we weren't a part of that. You know, I was glad I was able to beat people with a shillelagh, you know, on my turn. Because I had a lot of frustration in me at that point.
But Kevin didn't tell you about the beauty contest.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The night prior, they had a beauty contest, and whichever sailor won it actually got out of the ceremony. And they got to be King Neptune's girlfriend, right?
Yeah. And they have to do a talent show. Everybody, y'all can see it for you. They did a talent show. It was awesome. But the people who didn't participate did not become a show back.
No. Yeah, they stayed at Pollywog.
They stayed at Pollywog, and they got made fun of the whole time. And there were a few people who did stay behind it, you know. But I tell you what, they tortured me, and it was my fault, you know.
Because you're a bit of a smartass?
Well, you know, I gave some people some blackjack bubblegum that turned their teeth black as a joke. And my commanding officer remembered that, along with the first lieutenant, along with the navigation first class. Yeah, man, it was great, John. It was a good time.
Yeah, and it was a blast.
I mean, wow. Damn. Okay.
We did it just before pulling into the Philippines.
Yeah, I think we did the same thing.
Yeah, and I had somebody put food dye down the front of my pants. So I was I was like all different colors going into a port. We'll just leave it at that. I don't think I have to say anything more on that one. You guys can put your minds to work on that one.
Wow.
It was a very interesting
you know, we're all 18 years old. We're all out there doing our job.
Yep.
Yeah.
We come home from doing our job to 30 years later to be treated like this. If you think about it. The time I had in the military was some of the best times of my life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I would do it all over again, even knowing what I know. But you come home, you expect your people to take care of you, and the public does, but the politicians don't. They fight about how they're going to take care of us, and it's sad. And you know, and to me, that's where they failed us. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So they get a big F for what they've done to us. You know, there's a reason why I didn't deal with the VA for so long. I mean, if I didn't have things that just kind of blew up in the last couple of years, I probably wouldn't even be chasing the PTSD. But I have things that came up and stuff, and I haven't had really much issues there. The big thing is they, you know, the service here in San Antonio, I can't really complain too much, because when I had to go to Audie Murphy Hospital, the staff was good. You know, they took care of me. I was there for cardiology because I got atrial fibrillation. So, the Army hospitals could take me 2 months. The VA got me in within a week and a half. So I can't,
Right. And
there's
and
some pluses and minuses.
Houston, too. But before we go into that show, everybody knows my dilemma on my medications. Seems like every day and month, man, I got to put up with this crap. So last time I lost my I didn't lose it. It never came to me in the mail. I don't know if it got lost in the mail. I don't know if they ever got sent. I don't know. On the 25th of March, I went down to the VA, sat there from 5 o'clock. I left here at 5 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we got everything squared away. I got only 48 pills. Take twice a day. That's 24 days. Okay? I got everything squared. They put the refills in. I had to call the pharmacy today. And this is the problem. And I'm most likely on a hostile list now for what I said. But I haven't told John what I said. He knows this story. But 24 days from the 25th is the 19th of this month. My medicine's not going to be processed until the 7th of May. And then 5 to 10 days it gets to me. So now I got to go 22 days without it. So I'm doing everything I can to do what I'm supposed to do, be my own advocate. And thank God for advocates, by the way. So I love you guys to death because I have a great one right now. And I called down there and me and the pharmacist were talking. And I said, you know, telling her, you know, do the math. And because she was telling me, no, you got two bottles. I said, no, ma'am, go back and look. It specifically states that was lost in the mail. I did not receive it. So they filled it up until we can get another prescription remainder and they refill it. She goes, okay. I said, so do the math. And I explained the 19, this, this. And she goes, I don't care. That's
what?
Exactly what she told me. I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care. So the words that came out of my mouth after that is that's why veterans commit suicide right there. It's because you don't give a shit. I said, you're the rudest person I've ever talked to, and I hung up the phone. I called the advocate, and apparently that lady was really upset with me. But
well, it sounds like
there
she
could be a
had it coming to her.
Right. There could, every word that came out of my mouth was ma'am, yes ma'am, oh no ma'am, and you know, trying to be polite. I had a guy sitting in my chair until I got really pissed. When I hung up that phone, that guy's like, just cut my hair and don't say anything else. Because you were pissed, man.
Wow.
But that's the problem. Every veteran that I've ever talked to has had a prescription problem with the VA. Everybody knows the mail system right now sucks. There are mailman shortages. They don't, you know, all this stuff. And I even had to prove to them, you know, the last time y'all said y'all mailed it out it arrived at my house on the 5th of April. No, not April, March. It arrived on the 5th of March, but it shows it got processed on the 10th of March. How does the hell does that make sense? And that's where my argument is. So then my doctor sends me a message today, and he tells me, I will see you on the 22nd. Do not be late for the appointment. So I know he's pissed because all this is going on. This isn't my fault. I'm still going to run out by the 22nd. It's the 19th. And so my head's going to get screwed up again. Got to go through all this crap. And so that be your advocate. The patient advocate, I called her. If y'all did not know this, the reason the moral of my story is there is a patient advocate for the pharmacy. It's a pharmacy advocate. If y'all did not know
really?
That. And you can ask for them. And they get involved. They step in and they do what they're supposed to do. So for everybody out there I did not know that until today. I learned something every day. I'm telling you. I learned something every day. And we're going to get a little bit more into this when we go into the after the show. And so I want to thank everybody for listening. Larry, thank you for coming on, man. Your story. And I'm sorry y'all hit that mine. Nothing out there like that is good and anything. And John, thank you for our Navy background. I really appreciate that. I love it. The flowers compliment. You know your eyes.
You never promised.
Oh my God. Okay.
But and you know, to let everybody know, what we ended up doing is the episodes that we take and put back in behind is on Spotify. And so, but the upcoming videos, if people want to catch up or be ahead, there is a portal you can go in and do that. And please go to YouTube, like and share it. We're trying to grow our YouTube channel. And y'all can email me at kevinsimon@goforsideeffects.com if you like talk. If you'd like to come on to the show, please come out. Come on. We'd love to have you and everything. I mean, Larry reached out to me and everything, and I really appreciate all that. And I appreciate you coming on and telling your story. And thank you for completing 20 years.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. That's a hell of a feat,
buddy. Man. Yeah. You're damn right and everything. But thanks. Y'all have a great night. We will see you in the After Show.